along to the first edition of Gold Standard. This is our look at the Boomers Olympic campaign. Saturday, July 27 is the first game of the Olympics. And I think it's fair to say that the lead-in so far has been a really good one for the Boomers, but has been one of the toughest of all time for Brian Gorgian and his coaching staff. I'm Jack Heverin. We're going to be with you right throughout the next few weeks as we take a look at the Olympic campaign for the Boomers and some other teams on the periphery as well. Gives me an enormous amount of pleasure to welcome in Andrew Bogut to the show, three-time Olympian. And Bogues, welcome to you. This has been a really, really challenging few weeks for Gorge.
Yeah, really tough. I was fortunate enough to be at camp last week for 4 or 5 days and around the China Games, obviously. And it's a tough selection. There was a lot of guys that put their hand up. That 17 was really tough to trim to 12, and that's what you want. But at the same time, it does cause some problems for the coaches and assistant coaches. And from what I understand, a lot of split decisions in the room.
Great to have Brad Newley on the show as well. Two-time Olympian. Newles, this is the, I would imagine, as the player, when you're in this situation and you're on the fringe, this is the that real sort of sickening feeling in your guts about whether you're going to make the team or not.
Yeah, likewise. Like Andrew, I was fortunate enough to drop into Ivanhoe last week, and when I came down the stairs onto the court, my heart just sort of dropped a little bit, knowing that, you know, the tension that was in the air. And it's so hard out there because there's guys that they're your mates, and you're trying to be the right guy and do the right team thing, but at the same time you're gunning for their spot. And tough decision for Gorge and the staff, and I think every player that was, you know, in line to be selected did their best and put their best foot forward.
What's this time like when it's exactly that? You've got a spot that you want to grab. You're also trying to be the best teammate and the best person and keep the vibes high and keep the vibes correct around the group. How challenging, though, is it to try and stay in the right headspace?
It's something I probably personally struggled a little bit with. And there's no wrong or right way about doing it. You just got to be proud of yourself no matter what. I think if you're in or you're out, you've got to hold your head high. And say you missed out on a team like this, you could arguably say you've missed out on one of the best Australian teams. I think that's been the same for probably the best last three campaigns. So just to be proud of yourself and know you put your best foot forward and did everything you could to make the team.
What about you, Bogues?
Yeah, I mean, I was obviously in a different position without sounding arrogant, but I kind of knew I was in most the Boomers teams I tried out for. So Newell's experience with that's probably, you know, more intricate than mine. But I think it is tough because you're in the meal room, you're hanging out off the court, it's all smiles. You're supposed to be somewhat friendly, but you're supposed to be trying to kill each other to take spots. So it does become awkward at times. And a lot of these teams sometimes, you know, fans will criticize a pick. Sometimes it's not the most 12 most talented guys. Sometimes it's a simple fit. It's cultural. It's, hey, this guy's going to be the 11th man. Will he mope and cry about being the 11th man? Maybe we'll take that younger guy that'll be happy with that spot. So all these different things come into play for coaches when they select these teams. It's always funny seeing fans say, well, this player is better than that player. How did he make it? Well, it's not as simple as that. They can't all play, you know, 40 minutes. So there's a lot of things, push and pulls, that go into selecting these squads, and it's never easy. You got a lot of different factors at play.
So as we hit record on this show, reports have literally just started to filter through about the makeup of the final 12. We did hear last night potentially that players were going to be told the decision and the team needs to be ratified by the AOC. But as I mentioned, reports are filtering through as we've started recording today. So we may as well talk about them first and foremost. The final 12 is in. We can tell you on the show that Chris Golding, Matisse Thybulle, Jack White, Xavier Cooks and DJ Vasiljevic are the unlucky five who will not be going to the Olympics. This is brand new information for us. What's our initial reactions?
Yes, super interesting. Look, no disrespect to DJ. He was a pretty simple cut in my opinion. Jack White probably, unfortunately, on the outer. I think those two were probably the if there is an easier one, those were most people thought probably the two, especially when they didn't play in that second China game. I think it raised alarm bells pretty quickly that they're probably out of the squad. So then you're down to three that you got to cut. Tease is a real interesting one. I mean, he's arguably the best defender on that squad. One of the best defenders in the NBA. I think the shooting and the ups and downs of his shooting was a concern, and how, you know, I think in the last campaign, I think, you know, I wouldn't say he disappeared, but he struggled a little bit with that when his shot wasn't falling. I think CG was on the fence either way. You know, you have the question was, are they going to go bigger with a Magne as a backup big? And I think that's taken CG's spot because they've gone with an extra big. X is the other one I thought was interesting. You know, a lot of people will say the Sydney Kings bias and whatnot. I was at the camps. I like to think I'm not biased. I like to call it as I see it. And I thought he outplayed Nick Kay a little bit. But Kay's got the shooting arm over X. But then you've taken Jack McVay. So I thought that would nullify bringing in a Nick Kay and maybe going with an X, because I think X did a great job at the five spot, grabbing the rebound, pushing it up one, you know, as a five man, created a lot of cross matches, going straight into that handoff action. So some real surprising stuff with probably Tease and X mainly. And then, like I said, I think CG could have made it on a Monday and not made it on a Tuesday. It was that kind of a pick.
What about you, Newells? What does the selections tell us?
Oh, I think there's a lot of kind of, I feel like a lot of form has taken a bit of that theme throughout the team. You look at the Tassie guys off the back of their NBL campaign, they played really well and they kind of played themselves into the team in Jack and Magne, and they deserve their spot for sure. I'm a bit boring. I'm similar to Bogues. I definitely had Zave in the team over Kay. I think the bolter though for me was Delly. Like he's made the team, and that guy did everything he could to make it. He carried us through a finals campaign last year, and yeah, just to see him back in the line after missing a campaign is hats off to him, man. What a warrior, you know. The guy's in his 30s and he's sacrificed a lot, and you know, moved his family around, and you know, here he is going to his third or fourth Olympics, I think, for Dell's fourth, I think. So yeah, what a warrior, man, and I'm so proud to see him out there. And yeah, it's tough for Chris. Like, Chris is as good a shooter as anyone on the planet. You know, he's proven that and throughout his career. And yeah, it's, unfortunately, it's a bit of a squeeze of the roster. It can happen. You know, he should be proud of what he's done. He's a medalist. He's played in some great teams. And yeah, I feel sorry for him. And yeah, hopefully he can keep his head up and get on with it. But yeah, Delly for me is the surprise packet and a guy I think he bleeds green and gold, and they might have missed a little bit of that in the last campaign, and he's definitely going to bring that to this one.
Yeah, and just touching on Delly, I think that he, you know, people will look at that and say, how did Delly make it? How did he get back in? His squad didn't lose at practice. The team that he was on over the 3 or 4 days, even before I arrived, they said that his team was winning 90% of the drills and the five-on-fives and all the stuff that they were doing. And he's a guy that I think if you have him as your 12 or your 11 and he hasn't played two straight games, he's got DNPs and you put him in that third game for 3 minute spurt because someone got in foul trouble, he's going to go bat out of hell. And I think that's what they wanted. Obviously, it does affect, you know, some of the younger guys in Tease and that not making the squad. But I can see how Delly definitely deserved to make the team. All reports were he was locked in from day one, and that energy is infectious. You know, he picks up full court, he's talking, he's vocal, and he's a guy that you don't have to worry about as a coach that he's going to, you know, complain and mope that he's not getting minutes, you know, two games into a campaign and perhaps, you know, not play that well or not be locked in. He's going to be locked in every minute of the game, whether he's getting a DNP or playing minutes. So I think it's well deserved for Delly.
The other veteran who we now know has made the squad is Joe Ingles. There was just a little bit of doubt potentially starting to come through from some. Everyone's got a hot take, obviously, in the last week when it comes to this team, but about whether Joe would be there. He came on in the second half last night, facilitated, made some things happen and kind of changed the game a little bit. Was he always in the squad for both of you?
I had him on the bubble. I think he's in the squad now. Is there minutes there for him? That's my question. Like, is there mass minutes there for Joe Ingles? I don't know. With the style of play that they're trying to dictate, they're trying to really go up tempo. I think where Joe was really good and has been really good for the Boomers and in his career is a slow down pace where you can create out of the pick and roll. He kind of comes off it really slowly. He can find whoever he needs to find. We saw it in Utah with Gobert and Favors. We've seen it at parts in Orlando, although not as much. And then same with the Boomers. Is he going to have those mass 15, 20 minutes? I'm not sure. I think he's coming off the bench, obviously. But that's the question. Can he be that guy off the bench that plays limited minutes at times and stays locked in as an older guy? You know, he's an older guy. He probably needs a few laps up and down the court before his legs start functioning like we all do at that age. It's hard to do. It's hard to come in and, you know, be on the bench for 8-9 minutes and then get a 2-minute spurt. So that's what I'm interested to see. But I didn't have him as an absolute lock, but I had him as a, you know, in that mix of the last 4 or 5 spots.
Was he always in for you, Niels?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably a hard guy to leave out given his experience and what he's been through. I find him, he could be a bit of a factor in the 4 spot at times when they need a bit more shooting on the floor. And his decision-making, I think, is good for the group in the half. You look at the last 2 games, you got to remember that Chinese team, they're a pretty watered-down version of what they're going to play against when they get to the main competition. So it's very hard to read into, we whooped them by 30-plus both games. And we, both and I have discussed, you know, would they have been better off playing green versus gold, you know, something like that, to get a real gauge of how things are. So, I wouldn't be reading too much into the 30-point wins, but you can see how they want to play up and down the court a little bit. But I think that the true test when they start coming up against you, Serbia and the US in these upcoming games, and how our off-ball rotations look and these kind of things, that's might be where you see a few guys get found out, and you might see where a few guys can bring some things. So, yeah, all in all, yeah, I had Joe probably most of the time in, and yeah, just I think his experience probably got him over the line.
We kind of thought that the 3 bigs might be in a shootout for the 2 spots between Jock Landau, Duop Reith and Will Magne. As it turns out, they weren't. All 3 of them are going to go to Paris. What does this tell us? Is there a potential that Jock and Duop could start together or play together at certain stages? What do we think?
I don't think they'll start together. I think it's going to be matchup dependent, maybe against a Serbia or someone that starts to, you know, Mammoth 4 and 5s, 2 big guys, but not many teams are doing that. They're playing more of a, you know, maybe a Joe, starting a Joe-like figure at the 4, or Matisse would have, you know, been a 4 for us potentially. I think Magne is an insurance policy. I don't see him getting a lot of minutes. I think he's there for your, you know, Embiids, for your Jokic's, those kind of teams. Jock gets 2 quick fouls, got to get Reith in, maybe keep the rotations the same, give him a spell. You got to get Magne in for 2 or 3 spot minutes, a half or a quarter. That's where Magne will find a role, but there'll also be games where I think he has DNPs. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I mean, it was, like I said earlier, I think that third big spot was always interesting to see where they'd go. But I wouldn't start both of them just in case foul trouble and whatnot. I think Magne's more of an insurance policy. And it'll just be interesting to see who nabs that starting 4 spot, whether they go smaller or whether they go someone with a bit more size. Maybe Joe does start at that 4 and plays a couple of minutes and then comes out. I'm not sure. But, it's going to be really interesting to see. They've got a lot of different pieces. And I've said from the start, even to us offline and to numerous people, our best offensive lineup is not our best defensive lineup. And our best defensive lineup is not our best offensive lineup. So Gorge and the coaches have a lot of chess pieces to move to try to figure out what functions best together, because you can have an offensive lineup that scores 100, but they're going to give up 120, and then you can have a defensive lineup that keeps teams to 80, but you can barely score 70, right? So they've got to mix that around a little bit.
Well, now we've got our 12. And as I say, this has sort of landed in our laps just a few minutes before we started recording today. Are we any clear on what a starting 5 looks like for this group?
I think we're still a little bit of a while off with that one. Like I said, They'll come up against some tougher opposition in the next couple of games, and I'm sure the staff will get together and figure out who their best lineup is. But I think the ball will probably be in Josh's hands at the start of the game. I think he's definitely a starter. Landale will start. Then from there on, do you bring Paddy off the bench for impact? I thought Dante looked pretty good last night as well. So, but once again, the opposition was hard to get a real judge of what happens. Just going back on the Magne selection, I thought he gives us something. Like, he's a true center. You know, he's not a stretch guy. He gets out and shows. And the way we defend, I think he's going to be real useful in little spurts, if he plays at all. But I think he's a great addition just for that insurance, and gives you something different to look at as far as the way he can get out and roll and those kind of things.
Yeah, I think that Landau's locked the 5. Giddy's locked the 1. I think if you're starting Giddy, I don't think you start Paddy. But I think Giddy's journey in his career's going up, but he's not there yet defensively. He's probably needs some work on that end, and he knows that. Paddy's not a great defender. So I don't think you can start both of those two. And I think we saw that at the World Cup. I just don't think you can start those two and play in mass minutes together. So I think that it's going to be Giddy, Green and Exum as my three. I think the spot that's up for grabs is a four spot. Don't know what way they're going to go, whether they go small with Joey. You know, your suggestion, Jack, of maybe a wreath, I'm not sure. But that four spot's definitely up for grabs. But I think I'd love to see Paddy off the bench in a gunning role. And look, he hasn't been great. I mean, he's struggled to shoot the ball in the last two games. It's just looked a little forced and clunky at times of trying to find it. And look, he had a similar lead up in the last, you know, in the Olympic year and in the World Cup year, he had similar lead ups where he kind of, people are asking questions about, is he still that guy? And then he popped up and had a great, at least in the Olympics, he had a great run, but that is a concern. I mean, he's probably the only natural kind of gunner scorer on this squad that can just go and get you 25 quickly. But he's getting old, you know, and age is undefeated. And he looks older and older the more he plays, which is just the reality for all of us. Mules has been through it. I've been through it. And you think your brain thinks you can do it. And you're going out there and it's just not working. And Mules went from a role as a starter to a bench player. I went through a similar trajectory towards the end of my career and came off the bench. And that's something you got to live with. But I'd love to see Paddy as a 15, 20 minute punch guy in that squad. But I think the fours, the one that's up for grabs. I think the rest, I love Exum. And you put Exum with Giddy, both those guys can play the point. You can have Giddy off the ball at times. I think they need to look to post Giddy at times as well. I'd love to see them get Giddy on the block and utilize. I mean, he's so big. Like I'm 7 foot and I caught up with him a couple of times off the floor and you forget how big he is as a guard. Like you walk up to him and you're like, he's a legit 6'8", six, you know, I reckon he's borderlining 6'9", maybe because of the hair, but he's a big, big dude. So if these teams go worst defender on him because he's not that good of a three-point shooter, you chuck him on the block and then utilize his passing from there, he can cause a lot of problems. So I hope they look to do that. But the pace that you can have with that starting lineup, I think, is going to be really, really good. My concern with this team is just a half-court grind against these Euros that try to slow it down. What are you running? What are you doing in those situations? And I think Giddy on the block at times, Jock on the block at times will be the way to go.
It's my only other question to both of you on the team is around Dyson Daniels and what role do we see him playing? I mean, we saw glimpses of him in the last couple of warm-up games on Tuesday and Thursday. There were some good bits. There were a couple of turnovers in there too. Some suggestions out of camp that perhaps he had been coughing the ball up a little bit. Do you see him playing much of a role here or is he kind of another one of these insurance picks?
Well, I think he could potentially come in as a bit of energy. He defends the ball really well. There's at times, yeah, he crawls in. He's shown that in the NBA. And I think that will be kind of his role. I can't imagine him playing a lot, but he'll just probably go to a player, three or four possessions on him and try and shut him out of the game, that kind of style, and taking the ball off the rim and playing in transition. So in the half court, not as much, but I can definitely see a little, you know, stopper kind of role for him. Similar, probably he'll probably play behind Green, I'd imagine, a lot, that kind of role. Green's probably our main stopper. So something in that, yeah, defensive part of the game for him.
Skill guard for the ball for Dyson. I think that was a bit of a struggle for him at parts in the camp, was just looking after the ball at the point guard spot and just come in, don't turn the ball over and guard, and there'll be minutes there for him. It's just a matter of how much. But, you know, his offensive game's up and down. He shows glimpses of what he can do. But his main thing is he's also another really big guard, really long, really athletic. Where he's going to kind of make his money or where he's valuable on this team is picking up full court and causing problems defensively, trying to get stuff, get some easy steals and some buckets that way so we don't have to generate grind offense. But, yeah, he's just going to make sure he looks after the ball when he's at that point guard spot.
So as we start to look towards what's next, now that we've got our team, July 15, the Boomers face USA, and then on July 16, Serbia in Abu Dhabi. What do you both want to see out of these next two games? We'll be on as soon as both of them finish and we'll have reviews of each game, but what do you want to come away from these next two games with more clarity on?
I think the role that the guys will play, who will be the starters, those kind of things, but I think more importantly, just getting our defense set. It's always easier, I guess, to play if you got a good defensive foundation. I think if we keep working on that, you know, the Serbian teams and the US teams, they'll shoot the ball a lot better. The way our off-ball help looks, those kind of things, I think they're the most important in these upcoming games, our defensive structure. And I think cleaning up the offense as well. But I'm kind of looking at the defensive end before anything.
Yeah, I think just figuring out the rotation is going to be the biggest part, what they do there. I mean, they got tough games to tinker with this. The US is going to play a similar style to what we play, trying to go up and down. It won't be as half-court grindy, so it's going to be kind of both of the same kind of systems, but you'd probably argue the US probably has us out-talented on that side of things. But I'm interested to see who they start, what the rotations look like, who's going to be first off the bench, all that kind of stuff. I think, like I said, we've got a couple of defensive lineups that are really, really impressive. You know, you have the likes of like a Dyson, a Dante, a Green, you know, a Jock and someone else filling in. That's a really tough defensive lineup. You also got Dally sitting there as well if you need some defense. So they've got some really good defensive lineups, but obviously, like I said earlier, that they're not our greatest offensive lineup. So I think if we can generate some turnovers and get up the floor and get 8 to 10 points just cheaply, it really helps our offense and takes the pressure off our offense to have to score every possession. If I just don't think this team, if we're going to try to be a team that scores in the hundreds to beat teams, we're going to struggle. I think we need to play in those 70s, 80s, you know, and really try to junk up our defense at times, make some changes, maybe throw in a zone, maybe throw in a full court up, you know, go trap the ball a little bit, just try to do different things against these teams. I think if we give, especially Euro teams, a steady diet of what we're doing, as Newell's knows, these Euro coaches, within a quarter, they feel the flow of the game and they start to make tweaks. And by halftime, we see it all the time. Euro teams go down 15 points early in games and they claw it back by halftime and then they get the lead in the third because they're just so tactical and so good. But if you change things up and don't give them a steady diet, then they're, I don't know, are they going to zone us? Are they going to trap us? Are they switching? What are they doing? So I think this team's got enough personnel to be able to change things on the fly and go to switching defenses, go to trapping defenses, go to a more pack, let's see you hit some shots. And that's what I think Gorge is going to look towards defensively to try to create some mismatches that way.
Last one to both of you. Now that we know what it looks like, what should the expectations be for this 12 as we head towards the Olympics? Should we be of the belief that we should be standing on the podium again? Are we better than that? Or do we need to perhaps temper our expectations a little bit?
I think now, like with the group we've got, and where we've come to as a country in basketball, it's always gold medal or, you know, podium stuff. That's what we talk about probably the last 3-4 campaigns. It's always been the goal, but now it can be achieved. So I think that'll be definitely the expectation of the group. Paddy's driving that, Joe's driving that. They're all hungry to go and achieve that, and particularly off the back of last year's World Cup, that they're going to be a hungry group. And, yeah, podium's definitely the goal.
Yeah, I think we all want to see them win a medal. I think realistically talking, I think the podium is going to be very hard, if we're being honest. I think they need a really good run and some lucky bounces. In these tournaments, you need a lucky bounce every now and then. You need something, a lucky quarter, or someone fouls out, someone gets hurt, whatever it is on the other team, and you have a good little run there. But we've got the pool of death, and that's what people aren't talking about that. We've got a pool that's going to get two qualifiers from Europe. I hate having two qualifiers because they're playing basketball right now. They're going to be they're playing games that matter. They're not playing China. They're not playing USA in a friendly and Serbia in a friendly where there's going to be antics and hiding sets and all that kind of all that kind of stuff. But it's these games, these qualifiers are playing. They mean everything because they're out. So they're running everything. They're getting in tune and then they flow into the Olympics with great form. On top of that, we have Canada. So, you know, the way, for those not familiar, the Olympics now have gone to three pools of four. It used to be two pools of six. It used to be simple. Top four goes through, quarterfinals, play on, right? Now we're going three pools of four. Top two go through. For those good at math, that's only six that go through then. There's another two that go through. It's the best two-placed, third-placed teams. We don't have a percentage booster team in our pool. That's a huge concern for me. You look at the other two pools, you know, South Sudan, they battle, but they're probably most likely going to get smacked every now and then. And Japan's in the other pool. So those third place teams that finish third can probably beat up on them and maybe get a 20-point win booster percentage. Even if we get, you know, a win or two or whatever it is, our percentage isn't going to be as great, I don't think, as those others. So we got to try to, we have to aim for winning two out of three of those games. If we get that third spot, we're leaving it up to chance, and the percentages of chance are not in our favour. So I think we have the toughest pool. I think it's going to be really tough. I think podium would be amazing. If we get on the podium out of this pool, that's an amazing run. But I think it's going to be tough, very, very tough to get through. We need to be playing really good basketball. And we don't really know what's the rotation, who's the starting five. You know, you've got all these games, and that's where, to Newell's point, you'll have to have China out here because of the commercial interests with it. But that series really didn't do us no favours. And selecting a team based on those two games was pretty, pretty hard, as we've spoken about.
So just to recap the team that has landed this morning, Chris Golding, Matisse Thybulle, Jack White, Xavier Cooks, and Dejan Vasiljevic are the unlucky five who will not be making the trip to Paris as part of the Australian Olympic team. The next assignment, as we mentioned, July 15 and 16, friendlies in Abu Dhabi against the USA and also Serbia. We will be there for both of those games to break them down as soon as they are finished. Gentlemen, I'm really looking forward to the next 5 or 6 weeks with both of you, and thanks for jumping on to talk about it today.
Thanks, guys.
No worries, thank you.
Thanks for being with us, and we will catch you in about a week's time here on the Gold Standard.